Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Well, why won't God leave us alone? You know, I think I have some insight into this just from my own upbringing. My mom is a very talented painter. She is a commercial artist. She does one-woman shows in Southern California. And growing up, I watched my mom as she would work in oil painting. And I would see her working on a particular painting, and to me it looked incredible. Just to me it looked beautiful. I guess it skips a generation because I didn't get any of her artistic gifts. I would be more likely to be chosen most autistic in my senior class rather than most artistic. But my mom has this incredible ability, and I'd be watching her, I'd just be blown away by her ability to do these things. And yet I'd see her sometimes, and she'd be looking at a canvas of a painting that she had done, and she'd get this look on her face, and her brow would kind of furrow, and she'd kind of shake her head a little bit, and I'm just, man, this is just a minute, just sign your name and be done with it. And she'd go, no, 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 and she'd start over. She would just paint over the canvas and start again. Now, why would she do that? Because she was working on a masterpiece. Something that she was pouring her heart into. Not just something because, oh yeah, this painting is due at X amount of time and I got to crank this out, and if I don't do that, then, you know, somebody's going to be upset. No, she was doing it as a labor of love. And this is why God won't leave you alone. The work that He's doing in your life is a labor of love. When we say to God, God, why can't you leave me alone? God, why can't I have less trials instead of more trials in my life? You know what you're asking God to do? You're asking Him to love you less, not more. And He's going to work on you and work on you and work on you until you're everything that He's created you to be. Why? Because you are a poema. You aren't a sketch to amuse a child. You aren't a stick figure. You aren't slapdash graffiti sprayed on some locomotive going at 5 miles an hour. You're a masterpiece in the eyes of God. I'm not saying that. That's what the Scripture says. And as a masterpiece, we are all in process. Now, notice it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The word created there is really a interesting word in the original language. It's the Greek word katisis. It literally means to make something out of nothing. It's not using existing materials and shaping them and molding them. It is the same word that in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, was used to describe when God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God created the heavens and the earth, that's the word that is used here, to make something out of nothing. Now, I can understand making something out of something. I can understand renovation projects, but something out of nothing? That defies my understanding. That requires supernatural intervention. God and God alone can make something out of nothing. And do you know that's what He has done in you if you belong to Jesus Christ? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we are told, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. God didn't take the old you and put some religious frosting on the top. God didn't take the old, crummy, difficult to get along with you and give you some nice King James words that you can use to abuse those who are closest to you. God did not take the old you and educate you with Bible verses so that you can blow people's socks off on Bible Trivial Pursuit. No. What God did, if you have come to Jesus Christ, is He's made you new by an absolute miracle. He has given you a new creation. He raised you from the dead with the same power that He used to raise Jesus from the dead. He made you a new creation with the same power that He used when He created the heavens and the earth. You know, I think half of our problem as believers is we don't fully understand the amazing investment, the awesome power that God has poured forth in our lives. If we did, I don't think we would be bored in our Christian lives. I don't think we would be stuck in our Christian lives. I don't think we'd be the same old us anymore if we really understood this truth. Now notice, we are told, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. What old things? All the junk from your old life. Oh, I love what the book of Micah chapter 7 says about this. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, we read these amazingly powerful words. Writing to the prophet Micah said this, "He again will have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." And you know, God took all of your sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. And guess what else? He put up a no fishing sign. He doesn't want you going over it and over it and over it. He wants you to confess it, to receive His power, to deliver you from it, and then be a trophy of His grace as He makes you into a brand new creation. Notice it says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now notice, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, not by good works, but for good works. We are a working piece of art, if you will, in the eyes of God. And that I think, is a little humbling in a sense, but also exalting. The humbling part of it is there's no way that you and I can ever make our lives matter. But the good news is this: God wants to come and make our lives truly matter. We are created for good works. Now notice, which God prepared beforehand. You are no accident. Did you know that? You are not an accident. You know, maybe you came from a family, you know, where you kind of do the math on how the kids were born and how much time was in between. And, you know, well, you were kind of a happy little accident there. You know, my older brother and I are 13 months apart. My parents have told me they didn't really expect me to come on the scene when I did. They said I was a happy accident. I have a brother who's 13 years younger than I am. And boy, oh boy, that was another happy accident. From a human point of view, but not from God's point of view. I love what Psalm 139 says about this. In Psalm 139, King David made this beautiful statement about the significance of our lives. In verse 16, he says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." No surprises with God. No accidents, happy or otherwise, with God. You are here, and you are here for a purpose. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know what I love about this? It tells me how I can be significantly used by God. All I have to do is walk in the good works that God prepared for me. I don't have to work up a bunch of good works. All I have to do is walk in the good works which God prepared for me. I had the opportunity to share this message at a Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, Jack Hibbs Church. And when I shared, the Lord laid on my heart, even while I was sharing, a very simple truth. The secret of the Christian life, the secret of a fruitful Christian life, two words, show up. Show up. God's already created the good works. All you and I need to do to be significantly used by God, to be used by God to change this world, is to show up in our day with an upward focus, realizing that I'm His workmanship. God is the one who's making my life beautiful. I was created in Christ Jesus, same way He created the heavens and the earth. My Christian life, your Christian life, is a miracle, gang. And I was created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. All I have to do is come into my day and say, God, what are you up to today? I want to be a part of it. It's not getting yourself all riled up. It's not getting yourself into some state of spiritual ecstasy that makes us usable by God. Arguably, one of the most significant works of God I've ever been a part of happened in just this way. I was going about my routine, usual things, not really expecting anything coming down the line. Isn't it funny how those times when you just feel like you're sort of on cruise control, that everything's sort of going okay, that suddenly something comes out of left field and completely scrambles the equation? What happened for me, my phone rang, I picked it up, it was my dad. My dad had been going through a struggle with lymphoma cancer, but he had gone into remission. He'd been in remission for about a year and a half at this point. And so, I was praying for my dad, and, my dad really needed to know the Lord, but, I just continued to pray for him. But it was kind of back burner stuff at this point. I figured he was kind of out of the woods. Well, he called me up, and he goes, I don't know how to tell you this, but I just got out of a meeting with my oncologist. And they did a scan on me, and my oncologist tells me that I have a lymphoma on my adrenal gland. And it's compromised about half of my adrenal gland. The oncologist says that your adrenal gland controls about 86 things you need to live. And so he told me that I need to get my affairs in order because I'm probably not going to live another 2 months. I'm like, oh, wow. What do you say to that? And so, not knowing what else to say, not even really thinking about it, I said to my dad, well, Dad, can I pray for you? Now, you need to realize that was a big deal because I was created in his eyes to be the next lawyer on his law office marquee. It was going to be Marshall Lothrop Richards and Hibbs, attorneys at law. And when I decided to go into ministry, it was a huge deal. It was a huge, stressful thing in our relationship. At one point, when I decided to go into ministry and it seemed like there was no way to dissuade me, he told me in no uncertain terms that I was a complete disappointment to him as a son. So when I said, can I pray for you, I almost wanted to grab the words back out as I said them, but there they came out of my mouth. And there's this long pause on the other end of the phone. And he goes, well, sure, okay. And so I prayed for my dad. Now, I did not pray some whooping and hollering TV evangelist prayer. Lord, foul demon of adrenal cancer, you come out of him. Yay! I didn't know what else to say. I just said, Lord, I just pray that you would heal my dad. But whatever happens here, I pray somehow you just communicate to him how much you love him. In Jesus' name, amen. And there was another long pause on the other end of the line. And he said, well, they've just taken another scan. They're going to measure the progress this thing has made from my last scan. I have another appointment with my oncologist on Monday. I'll give you a call. I said, okay, great. So I was praying like crazy for my dad all weekend. It was one of those long, long weekends, like, oh my gosh, you know what's going to happen. So my dad calls me on Monday, and he goes, oh, thank you so much for praying for me. Thank you so much for your prayers. You won't believe what happened. I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, I went into my oncologist. And you need to understand something about this oncologist. I met this guy later on. We used to call him Dr. Pull the Plug because he was probably the most cold, calloused guy. Great oncologist, but strictly a scientist, not really very good with people and stuff. So my dad sits down with Dr. Pull the Plug, and he goes, Mr. Richards, before we go any further, I've got your results here, but I have a question to ask you. He said, are you a religious man? And my dad said, well, not particularly. What do you mean? And he goes, well, this, and he held up the scan, and he said, this is the scan we took of your adrenal gland, and this is the lymphoma, and this is the compromise here, and, you know, it's very clearly, here. And he said, this is the scan that we took on Friday. There is not even a trace of the lymphoma here. There's not even a scar. He said, I have no scientific explanation for this. So I want to know, are you a religious man? And my dad goes, thank you so much for your prayers. Your prayers. I said, Dad, time out, Dad. It wasn't my prayers. It was God. He wanted you to know how much he loves you. Now, I had been praying for my dad at that point, probably for well over 27 years. And it was one of those prayers where I just never thought my dad in a bazillion years would ever come to know the Lord. You know those kind of prayers where you pray it because it's the right thing to pray, but you just kind of know in your heart nothing's going to happen, right? You know, and I remember praying for my dad. I remember, Dad, Lord, whatever it takes, yeah, bring my dad to you. Well, that's what it took. It took that to soften my dad's heart. And he prayed and he received Christ as his Savior. Now, his cancer came back after this. He had a time of remission, but then it came back with a vengeance. And it eventually took him out. But before he passed away, I was there with him in the hospital. And he was, at this point, he was intubated and couldn't really speak. But I said to him, Dad, just for my sake, not so much for yours. I know you made a decision to receive Christ as your Savior, but if you really prayed and invited Christ into your heart, Dad, could you just squeeze my hand? And he looked at me and he squeezed my hand. And I will never forget that hand squeeze. Because that hand squeeze was the miracle. It wasn't healing my dad of lymphoma. It was a permanent miracle that allowed my dad, as we speak right now, to be in heavenly glory. You know, we sing the Chris Tomlin song, you know, I'll sing for I know, for I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. Sometimes I just get misty when we sing that song because I think someday, singing with the saints around the throne, I'm going to look and there's going to be Saint Dick Richards singing God's praise right next to me. And I wonder what a glorified Dick Richards is going to look like sometime. And I'm going to find out. But you see, that Friday, I woke up that morning and said, okay, God, I know you're going to use me as a mighty prayer warrior today, so I'm all psyched and ready, ready to go. No. Just another day until that phone rang. And when I prayed, I didn't pray, Lord, come powerfully by the demon of cancer. God, just show my dad how much you love him. Just showing up. Just showing up. Realizing what has saved you. Grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Realizing what you're saved for. To be a portrait, a unique masterpiece of God's amazing grace. And if you want to cooperate with every stroke of the master artist's brush upon the canvas of your life, Just walk with the Lord. Just decide that this day you're going to walk with Jesus. Decide before you get doubt and inflict yourself on the world, you're going to pray and ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit. You're going to ask that at the end of the day, those near to you and those you have a chance to encounter are going to experience the love of God as it overflows your hearts. That's what the Christian life is all about. Lord, thank you. And those words seem so inadequate to describe at least what's on my heart today. That your amazing grace is our hope of heaven. And that you have relieved us and released us from that endless trap, that hamster treadmill of trying to do enough, that endless series of trying to be made right with you by our own good works, where if we fall short, we just condemn ourselves, and if we make it, we become proud and self-righteous and stuck up. God, thank you for giving us the glorious alternative, not of religion, but of a living relationship with you. God, thank you that you haven't said, oh, you've got this fallen, sinful nature, you need to beat it into submission. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a brand new creation from the inside out. And Father, my prayer is not just for those that might be within the sound of my voice who have never availed themselves of that living relationship with you. Like my dad, I pray they might just simply turn to you and say, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want you to forgive my sins. I want you to give me life. Please forgive me and make me part of your forever family based on your amazing grace. I pray that there would be many that would pray that prayer tonight. But as well, Lord, I pray for those who perhaps have become religious sticks in the mud, who maybe even know all the Calvary Chapel jargon to be able to speak after years and years of being around, but don't know what it means to experience that glorious power flowing through their lives. May they trade in self-righteousness for the righteousness of the Savior. May they trade in their desire to prove themselves worthy to you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we set aside our grandiose visions and dreams of what we think being used by you is all about and exchange it for the simplicity of simply walking hand in hand with you, just showing up, filled with your Spirit, with a willingness to be used in whatever way you see fit. Thank you for this amazing grace in which we stand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us. and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you. Glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.